Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com, velofix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, ATVSwimSpas.com, the official training vessel for six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott, RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Eco Marathon Half Marathon 10K coming up Saturday, November 18th, DonateCAF.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com, on iTunes, and as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest just took third at Ironman Canada. The Purple Tiger, Rachel McBride, joins us. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Bob. How are you doing?
I am spectacular. It's always so fun to chat with you.
Yeah.
Take me through Ironman Canada. That was one of those days where you broke the bike course record. You had one of those great days. And, you know, and also doing that in Canada is pretty sweet as a Canadian.
Absolutely. So it was really a hometown race for me. I mean, Whistler's only a couple hours away from Vancouver, and so I know the course really well. I had so many friends and family and fans up there on course, and so it was such an electric experience the whole way. My expectations for the race, it was only my second Ironman that I've ever done, and so I was just really trying to learn on and build on my last race in Cozumel in November.
Well, you got fifth. Got fifth at Cozumel, first time out. I love that.
Yeah. And so I knew a little bit more about, like, what to expect and how it's going to feel, but I really, like, you know, there are always those unknowns for such a long race. The race, really, I mean, my swim was just an absolutely incredible swim. I couldn't believe that I was leading the swim.
Yes.
This was just a really unbelievable experience for me, and so to come out of the water in first place and even with a lead was just, like, never in my career would I have ever thought that I would have been in this place in an Ironman.
So what have you been doing, something different in the swim, training wise?
The past couple of months I've been, whenever I have a running injury,
yep,
which I had at the beginning of this year, I focus a lot more on the other sports, of course.
Sure.
And swimming, of course, is one of those things that you can do with a foot injury, no problem. And so I definitely focused a lot more attention on the swim. And I also started training, doing the Tower 26 subscription service,
yeah,
workout.
Yeah.
With Jerry Rodriguez, and those workouts have just been amazing, really triathlon specific. So it also meant that I was getting in the pool maybe one more time a week, and those swims, I had a lot more bigger swims. So, like, just increased volume early,
right,
in the swimming.
Well, and I've seen that with a lot of athletes. They start working with Jerry Rodriguez, and it changes everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and then your bike ride. You come right out of a great swim, and you break the bike course record.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ironman Canada has been a bucket list race for me ever since it moved to Whistler, just because of that bike course. And that bike course is really hard. It's really hard because at 150 kilometers into the ride, you have to climb back out of a town called Pemberton back into Whistler, and it is always a slog. It is just brutal. You always have a headwind, and that's really, super challenging courses like that are what I really love. And the whole course has several thousand meters of climbing, 7,000 feet of climbing, so it's just a really tough course. And so I knew I had a plan for the course. I had a plan on where I wanted to put my effort on the climbs, how I wanted to do. There's a 50K sort of super flat time trial section that you can just put your head down and do a long out and back. And, you know, I just had my plan and I stuck with it and tried to stay as strong as I could and couldn't believe that, you know, I was anticipating, you know, I'd seen the times from the years past and was anticipating maybe, you know, 5 1/4 or so. And to sort of come off the bike in 5:06 with a, you know, having smashed the record. So, significantly, I was just absolutely flabbergasted. And, I mean, I couldn't help but smile that entire ride. I mean, I think for the majority of the race, I just had this huge smile on my face because it was, you know, I was just having such a wonderful time and such a good race.
Then you have to run.
Yeah.
Then you have to do the run, and you've got, you know, Lindsay Corbin behind you and Jen's behind you. You've got some good runners coming up from behind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know, I've been in situations so many times coming 70.3 races, and so it's a really familiar feeling of, like, having these speedy women, you know, breathing down my neck coming up from behind. So it was, you know, comfortable territory in that sense. And I knew, like, I had a goal for my run. I knew what at my fitness level right now with the small amount of running that I've been able to do, what I had, I felt like I had in me. And so I really just sort of put my head down and did my pace. And I knew, you know, if they were going to catch me, it was what it was. I really was just giving what I had.
So Lindsay Corbin goes by about 17K, and you still, you know, within 10 minutes of the lead at the end, taking third place. I'm guessing that you were pretty happy with that.
I was incredibly happy with that. Yep, absolutely. At some point, I thought maybe I was going to hold on to second place because Jen, at 33K, she was is when she passed me. So, you know, most of the way through the run, I had still held on to that second place. And I was getting, you know, splits from folks on the sidelines. And at some point, someone said, oh, it's steady at 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden, she was right there passing me. So, you know, that happens. But yeah, I mean, I crossed that finish line and was just, I couldn't believe it, you know. And to me, like, being able to do that in front of a hometown crowd, to have led the race for so long, and also to have that experience up in Whistler, because it was a women's only pro race.
That's right.
And so our race was sort of the, you know, a feature highlight of the race, and so it was a really, really neat experience to have that.
So now with a fifth at Ironman Cozumel and a third here, is Kona on the, is that something you're thinking about for this year?
This year I won't be able to make, so it was initially not anything until just this weekend. It's too late, unfortunately, to coach anymore. So Kona 2017 is not going to happen for me, but I'm already planning on a couple of fall Ironmans to start the bid for 2018.
So do you feel this distance is good for you? Is this probably more because of your strength? This is probably a great distance for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's taken me a while to move to the full distance. Really, you know, I had made a decision a couple of years ago, but then had continued to struggle with running injuries, and
right.
So just wasn't able to get that volume up. And so for it to finally come together last year was really a treat. And I always had a feeling that this was going to be my kind of racing. I feel like the longer it is, the more, you know, the more I have to suffer, the better I do. And so I really see myself in the future, you know, even as a future athlete many years down the line, moving towards longer and longer distance.
So when you talk about suffering, you're the defending champion of the Red Bull 400 up at Whistler. And you're basically running up a ski jump that goes up, what, to 37 degrees. Talk a little bit about this thing. That just sounds like the ultimate suffer fest.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Leave it to Red Bull to have these crazy races.
Yes.
They've been doing that past couple of years, and last year some friends ended up winning, and it was such a hilarious and crazy experience. I mean, it is It's like nothing I've ever experienced before in my life. There, like, none of the training that I've done as a triathlete really is similar to the feelings that you get doing this run up the ski jump. I mean, it is, so in Whistler, there's about 100 meters of flat grass that you run across, and then it just starts going straight up grass. So you have this straight up for about 100 to 150 meters, a little bit of a plateau, and then up onto the ski jump and the rest of the way up the ski jump. And really, I mean, you're not running. You're not really running. It's more of like a power hike.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And when I won it last year, first you have to do it twice, right? You have to do a qualifying round.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my God.
And then you have the final. And so they take the top 50 from each gender and go up. They have to go up again on the final. And so during the final, of course, I am leading once I hit the ski jump portion, and I can't really, I'm just like head down, just going as fast as I can, which feels like a snail's pace on up this ski jump, and I can't see anybody around me. I have no idea who's behind me or how close they are, and all I can hear are the announcers down at the bottom of the hill who are like, oh, I think they're starting to gain on her. And put my head down and just went as, I'm like, oh, no, nobody's going to catch me, and just went as hard as I could. And thankfully, at the top, they actually put crash mats because actually when I got to the top of the ski jump, I literally could not stand up anymore. My legs were completely non-functioning, full of lactate, absolutely done. And it probably took me about 5 or 10 minutes to be able to stand up without the assistance of holding on to something.
Oh, my God. And, yeah, and I'm guessing, knowing it's Red Bull, the amount of exposure you get for something like that, for something that takes, what was it, take 5 minutes?
5 minutes, yep.
Is probably through the roof.
It was incredible. I mean, yeah, like the number of interviews I did and the attention, social media and everything after doing that race was more than like any of my triathlon wins that I've ever had. It was really, it's kind of ironic.
So when you look back at your triathlon races, what race means the most to you? And it doesn't have to be a win, just a race that maybe told you, you know what, I could be really good at this.
Yeah. I always go back to one of my biggest accomplishments, I feel, was, I mean, I did win. It was the Age Group World Championships in 2017. And this was, it was about 18 months after I had done my first triathlon. And I felt really, really new to sport as an adult.
Yeah.
And it was with that accomplishment that I thought, you know what, I'm good at this. Like, I just, won a world championship. I think, this really suits me.
So in growing up, were endurance sports part of your makeup, or is that something that came later?
I didn't, when I was younger, so I swam a little bit competitively until I was about 11. I ran a couple years of like track and cross country,
mm-hmm.
but when I was 15, I quit everything. I was way more interested in being creative, being a musician, smoking,
yeah,
being sort of a rebellious teenager.
Sure.
And it was only until I was at grad school in mid-20s. I was 25, and just again, my parents had always been runners, and they had run a marathon in 85, and I was not feeling very good about myself and my health, and decided, yeah, I'm going to do something interesting, and decided, okay, I'm going to run a marathon. And so I trained for my first marathon. I was 25 at the time, and ended up qualifying for Boston at this marathon, and so thought, okay, well, I don't know when I'm going to get this opportunity again, so I may as well go run Boston. And folks that I was training for Boston with, they were getting into triathlon, and one of my mentors just kind of out of the blue said, "Hey, I think you could you know, be an elite triathlete." And this was just astounding to me she would say anything. I think at the time I was really craving something like that, and I just took her words and went with it and just started training really hard. And I was 28 when I did my first triathlon out here in Vancouver, and got second place, you know, almost won the race, and just had a huge smile on my face the entire race. Couldn't believe that I was doing, you know, what a couple of months before seemed really impossible and so far out of reach. And so, that is when, ever, you know, that very first race, it's the sport has just completely taken over my life.
And it's something you still love.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Yeah.
It's
for new, you know, I still do this as a job. I never possible to have work that doesn't feel like work, you know, like, of course we work hard and there are highs and lows, but I can't imagine doing anything else right now. And I have so much passion for what I do. It's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And so I feel like it's translated into other parts of my life that I know, you know, I'm not going to be able to be a professional athlete forever. At some point I'm going to have to grow up and get a real job.
No, no real job.
No. But recognizing, like, that this is what's important in life, is to have some kind of work that you're so passionate about, because it's real, it's true. Like, you don't have to have something that you dread going to work every day for. And so now it's really inspired me to really look deep within myself and take those risks and maybe do things that are outside of the box as a future career that I will be just as passionate about.
Love it. Rachel, I always love chatting with you. You're always so much fun. I love the fact you go right from, I just did an Ironman, and now I'm going to go run up 400-meter ski hill, or ski jump, and really abuse myself. That is awesome. When is that? Is that this weekend?
Yeah, that's this Saturday.
Oh, my God. And people can find that online?
Yeah, so it'll be online. It's on, there's some media on Red Bull Canada website, and I will also be taking over my shoe sponsor, Topo Athletic, Instagram stories off the day.
Nice.
So people can get the play-by-play of the whole day out at Red Bull 400 by going to the Topo Athletic Instagram.
Perfect. Rachel, good luck this weekend. Congrats on Ironman Canada at Whistler. That's getting third and fifth in your first two Ironmans is pretty special.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's always wonderful to talk with you.
All right. Rachel McBride has been our guest again. We're brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, ATVSwimSpot.com, RunCatalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon, Half Marathon 10K. Coming up Saturday, November 18th, DonateCAF.com. You can help out the Challenge Athletes Foundation by going to DonateCAF.com. And as always, endurance lives here.